The Orange Catholic Foundation is pleased to bring you the following Father Spitzer homily.
Well, of the 200 or so weddings I have done, 100 of them are from, the first reading is from 1 Corinthians 13 that we heard in its entirety today. It's one of the most striking passages, which is why so many couples, I think, choose it. I think many couples, too, have a pretty good idea how hard it is to bring that into reality. But I think St. Paul grasps three huge points from Jesus' preaching that he beautifully incorporates into a sort of Greek, you know, rhetorical, sort of tractate on what love means. Jesus, of course, defines love through the Beatitudes, right? Blessed the poor in spirit. Well, what does that mean? The humble-hearted. So love is humble-hearted. Blessed the meek. That means gentle-hearted. Love is gentle-hearted. So we see that in the Beatitudes very clearly. And notice how Paul sort of reorients it a little bit to people who have a mentality similar to us. Yeah, we've got a sort of Greek abstract mentality. That's what we want. But Paul gets the big three points. Point number one, love is not just about exterior behaviors. It's about interior attitudes. Notice what he focuses on. Love is patient. Love is kind, those interior attitudes, right? It's not quick-tempered, it's merciful, right? It's not a boastful, it's not inflated, it's not quick to judge. It doesn't want to judge, the bad news, as it were, but rejoices in the good news. So these are all these really important attitudes that are as it were, pressing for all of us. And so it shifts away from that exterior, behavior that was such a focus of, you know, the Pharisees and so many other religions, not just Judaism. And so it puts the emphasis on the heart, on the interior attitudes that will allow us to have the freedom to love. The second thing that Paul grasps very clearly, is that love is the most important virtue. It's the ends virtue. It's the one thing for which we as Christians need to live, and it will determine, as it were, whether the rest of the virtues will fall into place or not. Every other virtue must subordinate itself to love. And Paul, he's saying the same, right? Jesus has said this all the time in his very Jewish way, right? So when he's telling, what the highest commandment is, he's saying love is the greatest commandment. He steps right out of the entire history of religions, changes the entire history of religion so that one virtue becomes the highest virtue and everything else is subordinated to it. And Paul reflects the same thing and puts in one other thing, which I think Jesus considers to be almost obvious in his Jewish context. And what Paul puts in is, it's even higher than spiritual gifts. And of course, for the Corinthians, for others, the spiritual gifts looked like the biggie. I mean, if you could do miracles, you must be virtuous, right? I mean, miracle, doing great deeds, miraculous deeds, healings and so forth. But Paul's saying, no, that's really not it. Having spiritual gifts is not it. And then he goes on in the end, he says, look, there's the three great theological virtues, faith, hope, and love. And love is higher than faith and hope. And of course, I think the Corinthians are going, what? I mean, it's that high? And Paul is going, yes. Because boy, if you have faith but no love, what's the point? If you have hope but no love, if you do miracles, you don't have love, what's the point? You can speak in tongues, so what? If you don't have love, you're just a big old gong and a clanging cymbal. And so we see that second major point. Cultivate love, work on, of course, you got to work on faith and hope. Of course, you got to, you know, if you have a spiritual gift, you want to utilize that spiritual gift. But above all, Paul says, never lose focus on this. Love is the highest commandment. It's the highest virtue. Everything else is subordinated to it, and it will determine the outcome of all the other virtues. Third thing that Paul, addresses. And, you know, this is getting into the whole area of, the confluence again of Christianity and other religions. And it's sometimes so difficult to see, you know, how in fact what Jesus asks of us is exactly the way that God is, right? Jesus is not going to ask us something that does not reflect the heart of God. And so, in a way, what is this description? It's a description of God. So when Jesus says, love is patient, love is kind, merciful, it's not quick-tempered, right? Not boastful, not inflated, not arrogant, etc. When he's going through this, what's he really saying? God is patient. No. Really, God is unrestrictedly patient. And God is kind. He's unrestrictedly kind. He's not, you know, angry and quick-tempered. And, you know, he doesn't rejoice in the bad news in us, but rejoices in the good that's in us. He's not inflated. He's infinitely not inflated. He's infinitely not arrogant. You know, here's your description of God. And does Jesus mean that God is the pure reflection of the Beatitudes, pure humble-heartedness, pure gentle-heartedness? That's exactly what Jesus means. And don't think for a moment that every great mystic didn't recognize it, particularly St. John of the Cross and St. Teresa of Avila. It is so evident. There are some passages in St. John of the Cross that talk about the humble-hearted, gentle-hearted, compassionate love of God so tenderly, it just knocks you over. You can't even believe what he's talking about. It's just so brilliantly describes every attribute of St. Paul that he's giving us of what love is and who God is in this beautiful passage in 1 Corinthians 13. Amen.
Thank you for tuning in to another podcast brought to you by the Orange Catholic Foundation.